This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Well, how about that for some Friday content, right? I mean, last night, the news comes down, Tre'Davious White returning to the Buffalo Bills. In case you have not heard, and you're like, oh, let's just turn on the Extra Point Show today to listen to Sal. Yeah, Tre'Davious White's coming back to the Bills. I can confirm that. It will be happening. They have agreed to terms. He has not signed his contract yet. That'll happen at some point. Who knows, maybe today, this weekend, whatever. The draft is next week, but the Bills and Tre'Davious White have agreed to terms on a one-year deal. If you've listened to this show, especially if you've listened to the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, I'll say that, you should really be listening to that show. That's iTunes, of course, Spotify, Odyssey app, and on the YouTube channel, at Sal Sports, you should check that out, Matt Bove and I. If you've listened to this show, you've listened to me on Show Up with the Bulldog, on the morning show, and especially Always Game Day in Buffalo, I've been kind of getting there without getting there about Tre'Davious White. I had heard a while ago that they were maybe possibly going to do that, but it wasn't anything certain, right? Because I had heard that they were poking around other veteran corners as well. And lo and behold, James Bradbury, a name I did not hear, by the way, James Bradbury had come in. But I'd been told specifically that Tre'Davious White was a possibility. I was told that Stephon Gilmore could be a guy, Kendall Fuller, guys like that. But Tre'Davious White was always kind of out there for me on the periphery, and that's why I'd always kind of mention it a few times. And, you know, it's one of those things where you hear it, you don't know, you don't want to go out there and say it because you don't know if it's going to happen, and then you kind of look crazy if it doesn't happen. But it was always a possibility to me, and I've mentioned it many times. And thank you very much for those of you who noticed that, and you've tweeted at me and said, hey, you called it. I didn't call it. I didn't know if it would happen for sure, but it seemed like it was possible, and now here we are. And the reason I bring that up is I've also said something else about the Bills and their draft and their roster construction. And this goes hand in hand with what I've said for the last few weeks. To me, it was always, they're going to probably sign a veteran corner at some point. Now, I didn't know it would be before the draft or after the draft. Maybe you wait till after the draft, see what you get, and you do it. But one thing that Brandon Bean has always loved is, well, two things, really. But the one word is certainty. And what I mean by that is Brandon Bean has always loved cost certainty and roster certainty. And that's why the Bills have gotten in front of a lot of these contract extensions early. Think about it. Khalil Shakir, Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, right? The four big ones that we talked about. Now, I know James Cook is still out there. But the reason why he signs all of them now, not waiting, and I know he's still got one that's in limbo there, because Brandon Bean wants cost certainty for the future. He's always done that. The Bills have very, very rarely, if ever, really gotten into a position where, you know, it's become messy with a contract. It could get that way with James Cook for the first time. We don't know that. I mean, I guess Jordan Poyer's as close as it got, and that really never got messy, right? It was like an OTA. I'm not going to be there, but we all knew Jordan would eventually, they'd settle on something. They did, and he came back. Okay. I guess Gabe Davis was a guy where we really didn't know what happened, but it seemed like all along it was, okay, they're probably going to have to move on from Gabe Davis. He's going to make more in the open market than what the Bills are going to give him. So those are things that are going to happen. But the Bills have their own value on guys, and they want to keep their own players that they've grown. When the time comes to eventually move on, that's what they'll do. But Brandon Bean has always operated where he wants cost certainty. That's what the extensions are about. The other thing that he always operates under is he wants roster certainty. If you have roster certainty, meaning, okay, I've kind of got this where I need it, it gives me more options as I go forward. Going into the draft is one huge where you have more options, right? You don't want to go into the draft and say, I got to reach for a guy. That could land you on a Kyrie Elam. Now, we all know that Kyrie Elam didn't work out. It was a missed draft pick. There's no doubt about that. Everyone knew the Bills needed a corner, and they were going to draft a corner. Now, you could say the same thing this year because I think it's trending towards defensive line, but the Bills clearly still needed a corner this year. Who knows what Tre'Davious White is? I'll get to him in a minute. I want to talk about him, obviously, today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But from the Bills' perspective, they feel more comfortable having another corner, a veteran corner, who they know, who knows them, who knows each other's, they know the system, he knows the system, the player, what they're getting in the locker room, everything. That's roster certainty. There's cost certainty, there's roster certainty. Brandon Bean loves both of those things. There's been very rare, it's happened, I think, again, go back to 2022, maybe with corner is one of these times, but it's very rarely happened for the Buffalo Bills under this regime, since Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott took over, that they've been in an offseason with a whole bunch of uncertainty at positions. It's happened. I think wide receiver in 2019, but what they do, go out and sign John Brown and Cole Beasley, right? That's why they do it. They just don't like that. They want to make sure, and you can argue and say they're making bad decisions. You don't like the decision. You don't like Tre'Davious White coming in. You don't like a draft pick they make. That's fine. I'm just telling you from their perspective, signing Tre'Davious White gives them something that they always love. A little more roster certainty. You can plug that guy in. He's a veteran. Put him right there. They love cost certainty. Brandon Bean loves cost certainty. He loves roster certainty. That's how you get to Tre'Davious White. And that's how I get to things that I've been saying for the last few weeks, which are, hey, I think they're going to sign a corner at some point, a veteran corner, and that's going to really allow them to zero more in on defensive line. Because if they go into the draft and still, okay, we got defensive line, we got corner, what do we do here? You know, I think you have a higher chance to kind of miss, right? If that's the way I want to phrase it. But I think now it allows them to focus where I believe they've always wanted to kind of focus a little more on the defensive line, because they still need defensive linemen. They do have uncertainty there a little bit. It's not perfect. It's not like, oh my God, we have all pros at every position. That's not the kind of roster certainty I'm talking about. I just think they want to feel more comfortable knowing they can go into the draft and go, okay, we're good here. We've kind of done a little bit more roster massaging over here at corner or wherever the position may be, wide receiver, whatever. And now we can kind of focus somewhere else. And that way we don't get lost in the weeds here of trying to figure out where to zero in on. I've maintained for the last few weeks, and I still do today, and I think this emboldens me even more, that Tre'Davious White signed, that the Bills are going to draft all defense in their first three picks. They're still going to draft a corner in those first three picks. But I think they go D-line first. And I think they go D-line again at second or third. Now, if they start to move around the board, things change. I'm talking about if they stay relatively where they are, 30, 56, and 60. Three picks in the top 60. To me, they get to two D linemen in a corner. Because, as much as I just said, they love roster certainty. the biggest uncertain part of the roster right now is D-line, especially because the Bills have two players who they've signed who are facing six-game suspensions. Now, they are currently on the active roster, okay? And, of course, I'm talking about Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi are on the active roster right now. The Bills have 67 players on their active roster. A couple of operational points here about the roster and how all this works. The Bills will count, and Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt will count, on their active roster where they have a maximum of 90 players they can bring to training camp, okay? They're at 67 right now. They will be a part of OTAs and minicamp. They will be a part of preseason games. When the Bills cut down to 53, they will be transferred to a reserve suspended list. They don't have to make the 53. They'll essentially get 55 counting those two. Let's look at it that way. So we'll get 53 other active players, plus those two guys will go on reserve suspended. Once that happens, folks, you got Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. That's it. Now, you want to think that Zion Lowe can make the team? That's fine. I'm not going to go that far right now. It's Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. You have three defensive tackles. So as I just said a little while ago, the one thing the Bills don't love is uncertainty at the roster spot, That's kind of what they have at defensive tackle right now, as much as you can have that. Even though, and it's not that uncertain because you still have three mainstays and guys that you know are going to play and be basically starters, right? All defensive tackles are kind of starters in this system because they all play so much. It's a rotation. But they need that fourth guy. Like, that's a spot. You go right now, bam. There's no other spot on this roster. I just tweeted it out, at Sal Sports. Give it a look. At Sal Sports on Twitter slash X, I just tweeted out the roster and I asked a question. The question I said was, take a look at this. Give me your top three, or heck, top five, Bills needs as of right now. You check that out. That's Getting Connected with Our Fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Folks, I'm looking at this roster and I'm looking at it from a Bills perspective. Okay? How do the Bills feel about this roster? How do they operate? Because you can go in a lot of different ways of, you don't like this guy, you don't like that guy. Heck, there's people out there saying that, you know, they don't like the tight end group. I don't know. Whatever. I just think from the Bills' side, their perspective, they're looking at this roster going, yeah, we need help at defensive tackle. There's no other spot here where guy's going to be basically, you put him in, he's going to play. Maybe corner, though. Maybe. But that's why you have Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White. Look, if the Bills draft a corner, even in the first round, he's still got to beat out Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White, and Jamarcus Ingram. I think that is a much taller ask for any rookie to come in than it is to say, you're playing defensive tackle in our rotation. Like, that's going to happen. A guy gets drafted at 30 at defensive tackle, he's playing this year. A guy gets drafted at 30 at corner, he might be the number three guy. He could be number two. He could start. I don't think it's that certain. Dane Jackson or Tre'Davious White, we know what they feel about these guys. You could make an argument at defensive end or edge as well, but Joey Bosa's there. You have four. Rousseau, Bosa, A.J. Epinesa, and Javon Solomon, who I think they think will take a step. But you could make that argument for sure. 803-0550. What do you think about the Tre'Davious White signing? So operationally, I told you about how it works with the roster, Hoyt and Ogunjobi. They will then transition to being suspended on the suspended list. How it works with Tre'Davious White is this, and this is the, if you don't like the White signing, you're going to not like it even more when I say this. If you like the White signing, you might go, yeah, that kind of sucks, but that's all right. Like, however you want to look at it, here's the deal. Tre'Davious White's contract, we don't know exactly how it's going to break down yet. That's not out there. The base salary, the cap hit, we know it's a maximum value of $6.8 million. Now, the way this generally works, they did this with Matt Milano's contract. Because Tre'Davious White didn't play a ton last year, you can put some incentives in there that are reachable, but they won't count on this year's cap because he didn't hit those numbers last year. That's what we call not likely to be earned. Not likely to be earned are numbers that you didn't hit the year before, so we can't say you're going to hit them now. But if you do, the money goes on next year's cap. Likely to be earned are If a guy had 50 catches 1 year and you give him a bonus and say, oh, if you have 50 catches this year, you get $1 million. That's likely to be earned because he did it the year before. So you have to count it that year when you sign him. So my guess is you're going to get a low base salary, a bunch of not likely to be earned incentives that actually he can attain, and his cap hit's going to be relatively low this year. However, because Tre'Davious White was a June 1st cut last year, a post-June 1 cut last year, and they had to count $4.1 million in the dead cap last year and this year, that doesn't go away. Whatever his cap hit is in 2025, you have to add $4.13 million on to this year's to the cap for this year for the dead cap. It's essentially two separate contracts. It's pre-Tre'Davious, post-Tre'Davious. It's Tre'Davious 1, it's Tre'Davious 2, whatever you want to call it. He's counting $4.13 million no matter what on top of and in addition to whatever he counts in his new deal. When Tre'Davious White was released last year, I think there was a general sentiment of, man, I love that guy, but it just, the last 2 years, two season-ending injuries, and he wasn't the same player, and they have to move on. And I agreed. And I agree with that today, that they had to make that move. He goes to L.A. It did not work out. He was a healthy scratch in L.A. for the Rams. Eventually, he goes to the Ravens. In Baltimore, he played more. He actually started to play even better. But how much better? Where is he right now? We're going to ask Jeremy Kahn from our Odyssey sister station, 105.7 in Baltimore, the Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy, always great with his time. Love having him on. He's going to join me at 10:30 a.m. I'm going to ask Jeremy Kahn, what was Tre'Davious White in Baltimore when he got there as his season went on into the playoffs? We saw him play in the playoffs here in Buffalo. He had that pass interference call against him that was pretty controversial, I think, from a lot of people that helped the Bills set him up to score. Now, if you remember that one, that was down towards the tunnel end of the end zone on the far sideline, the Ravens sideline. After that game, when it was over, I saw Tre'Davious, caught up with him. Obviously, you know he's got a great personality. He's loved living and being in Buffalo, and you know he was a beloved figure here by many fans. So caught up with him, talked to him, and I said to him, "Hey, you're gonna be a free agent at the end of the year, right? What do you think? Any chance to come back here? What do you think? You still want to play?" He goes, "Oh," he said, "not only do I want to play, I would love to come back to Buffalo." That's what he told me. Then, after he says that, as the weeks go by, is when I start to hear, you know what? Bills are poking around, veteran corners. Tre'Davious White's name is out there. It started to make sense, and here we are today. Bills signed Tre'Davious White. They're going to. They agreed to terms. That will happen. We have much more at our website, WGR550.com. We'll take your phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Friday. Good Friday to you. Thanks for being with me. We will take some phone calls. We'll also get to your tweets, and on top of everything, we'll get to the Sabres locker room with Paul Hamilton. Today is locker cleanout day with Paul Hamilton down in the Sabres locker room. When we have some sound throughout the show, we'll bring that to you from Paul down in the Sabres locker room. Sabres missing the playoffs for a 14th straight season, but ending on a good note, beating the Flyers last night 5-4, and Lindy Ruff securing his 900th career win. All right, we will with the Sabres, right? That is, wait, let me, is that with the Sabres there, Evan, or is it overall Lindy Ruff? I forgot what that stat was with his career wins. I'm going to get this right now. See? All right, Lindy Ruff coaching record. I should know this, but it's his 16 years career. There it is, 900 wins total. 900 wins total. Oh, yeah, for the Sabres, it was 600. That's where I was getting confused. Remember, he hit 600 with one club, 900 overall for Lindy Ruff. 607. For the Sabres, 165 for the Dallas Stars, 128 for the New Jersey Devils. Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's get to Kenny in Niagara. Hi, Kenny. You're on WGR.
Hi, Kenny. I'm sorry.
You're Kenny.
I'm Sal.
That's okay. Sometimes people get nervous on the radio. It happens to me all the time, pal. What's up?
Yes. First-time caller. I'd just like to say... I'd rather go for a young quarterback in the draft because Mitch Trubisky is not the answer for a backup. It's why.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Josh Allen gets hurt, it doesn't matter, kind of. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. If Josh Allen gets hurt and misses extended time, it doesn't matter who you put in. You're probably not going to be the same team. You're definitely not going to be the same team, and I don't know how much of a chance you have anyway.
No, I understand that, but everybody's talking about defense.
Wait a minute. I just want to get this straight, Kenny. You want to draft a quarterback early?
Yeah, I would. I would take. I mean, we have the 30th pick.
Do you want to draft a quarterback with the 30th pick?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Kenny. I appreciate it. That's not happening, and no way should it. Let's go to Rich in Lakeview. Hi, Rich. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks.
Hey, listen, I'm envious. For anybody in the local media, you take the best vacations everywhere. So it's I think you turn every Good Friday into a great family for Max and the family. So best.
Well, let me just say this, Rich. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, and one of the things that, you know, I grew up, let me just digress here for a minute, if you allow me. I'll say this. I grew up, I'm the son of an Italian immigrant. My father came to this country when he was 9 years old. He didn't graduate high school. He went, I believe he got his GED to go in. He was Vietnam era Army. And my mom's a South Buffalo gal, and nobody in my family ever went to college. I never traveled when I was younger. We just didn't have the means to do things like that, right? I didn't grow up, you know, having the ability to do a lot of the things that a lot of families and kids that I knew did. And, you know, as I got older and I, you know, took ownership of my career and wanted to get to where I went to, and I'm here. And along the way, I met a woman and she's from Germany and we've been married 22 years. And my wife opened my eyes to traveling and going to Europe and around the world. And then we had Max, and it's just become a part of our life, and I love it, and I love seeing the world and showing my son the world, and I appreciate that. But that's why I just think it, you know, for me to be where I am now, to have the ability to do those things matters a lot, but also to give my son that ability.
That's great. I just love it. And vicariously through social media, we get to do it. So I'm glad you post a lot of stuff to do that.
Thanks, Rich.
You know, Tre'Davious White, I'm all for it. I mean, first of all, if it's good for the room, we still don't know. And you're embedded a little bit more than we are. What the vibes are going to be with the James Cook thing? Is it going to get bad? I mean, OTAs and mini camps right around the corner, so that's going to be a thing. But I think about it. You look at the cap. You see the 6.8 now, and the 4 in dead money. If you look back,
it's not going to be 6.8 now, though. It'll be a low cap hit, probably, with a bunch of incentives that won't count on this year's cap. That's my guess.
Well, whatever it was, I look at it this way. Even if he's lost a step or three, would it have been worth that money in January to have him there instead of like an Elam or something like that? I think it would have been an upgrade. And listen, the Bills have been hit with the injury bug so much, and I think you hit it right the nail on your head. Cost certainty and character certainty, I think, was a big deal with this move, and I'm all for it. I don't see a negative for it. I mean, a lot of us who weren't picked first in gym class can say anything about Tre'Davious's physical ability after two knee surgeries, and of course, putting Humpty Dumpty back together again at his age is one thing. But again, you know, character certainty, play certainty, and as a safety valve, I'm all for it. And I think it's a great PR move, and I think it's a great roster move.
Thanks a lot, Rich. I will say this to your point. I don't disagree with you necessarily about Tre'Davious. I'll go a bit different, though. I think if they have Dane Jackson last year, things might be different. You know what I mean? Like a guy that they really could be a solid high floor guy. If you're in that championship game and you have Dane Jackson, isn't that a little bit different once Benford goes out? I think it is. And
absolutely.
That's a reason you go out and get a guy like that. And Tre'Davious is an extension of that as well. Thanks a lot. Green Kenmore, before we get to Jeremy Kahn at the bottom of the hour. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, real quickly, on the Sabres, I don't want to hear any press conference the next 2 days. We've seen 14 years of locker clean out day. Stop telling us what you're doing. Just do it. I don't need to be in. I'm no interest in telling us how we're going to be better next year because it hasn't happened yet. Now, quickly on the draft, I'm tired of people telling us we should trade and get fewer picks because there's not that many roster spots on the team. I want to draft 10 players every year and have 10 players make the team. because rookie contracts are your lifeblood once you get that franchise quarterback that takes up 25% of your cap. You need 30 guys on rookie contracts and cost certainty. I know there's not as many roster spots, but I'd like 10 guys to show us what they have and make this team. Cut some guys that aren't as good anymore. It's the most important thing you do every year once you get to this point.
They drafted 10 last year and 9 made the team, and the only one who didn't was because he was a Pathways program guy, Travis Clayton, and he went on the practice squad. So there you go, Jerry. They did it last year. They had 9 out of 10 make the team, and really 10 out of 10 because that kind of was a different scenario.
Well, I don't want to hear that we need 7 picks because there's only 7 roster spots. You make 10 picks.
By the way, I apologize. I'm wrong about that. Daquan Hardy did not make the team, obviously. He was on the practice squad. So Daquan Hardy did not. Travis Clayton did not. Tylan Grable did, and he actually became the swing tackle before he got hurt. But yeah, Jerry, I hear you, and I understand. I think it's a good point. I think I see both sides to that because I don't know if there are 10 spots to make it, but you're right. If you could have 10 guys on rookie contracts contributing in some capacity, that's really great for how you have to pay the top end of your roster and how you balance that out. We'll get to Jeremy Kahn. Big Bad Morning Show in Baltimore. What did Tre'Davious White look like in Baltimore last year with the Ravens after this timeout in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to
fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Rolling to the right, intercepted, picked off by Buffalo, back up the sideline. Tre'Davious White, the rookie, still on his feet, to the 10, and that'll seal it for Buffalo.
Tre'Davious White, he had 18 picks in a Bills uniform before moving on last year, went to the Rams, eventually the Ravens, coming off the ACL injury that occurred on Thanksgiving night in New Orleans a few years ago. And then, of course, a year later, after the recovery, he comes back and tears his Achilles against the Miami Dolphins. That was a tough scene to be right there on the sidelines and see that. And, of course, a fan favorite for many years, not only on the football field, but, of course, the Tre'Davious White Goalie Academy, right? We all remember the Goalie Academy. I don't know if he did the Goalie Academy in Baltimore. I don't think there was any of a NHL team, but Jeremy Kahn can answer that maybe for us. He joins me right now on the Western Hotline. 105.7, our Odyssey sister station, the Big Bad Morning Show. Good morning to you, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. What's up, Sal? How are you?
I'm well. Do you are you a night owl? You texted me overnight to respond to my text. You don't have to get into details here. Are you a night owl? Is that what it is?
No, it's the exact opposite. So when you texted me, it was like 7:30 last night, I think. And
yeah,
I put my phone up early, especially when I'm watching baseball games, because my TV feed is like 30 seconds behind everybody else. So if I'm on social media, or if I'm am watching the game and all of a sudden it's like, man, it's a big at bat. Then all of a sudden you get the home run call and you're like, oh, man. So it feels anticlimactic when you're watching the game. So I put my phone up. I texted you when I got up this morning at like 4 o'clock. I'm going, I'm sorry this is early, but I just wanted to let you know I'm available if you need me. But my apologies.
I love it. Man. Do you normally get up at 4 a.m.? Is that because, oh, yeah, you have to. You do the morning show, right?
Yeah. Every Monday to Friday, yeah. And
there
it's fun
go.
On the weekends, too, because then you're waking up randomly at 4 a.m. getting ready for work and not realizing
it. I totally get it, how that is. No worries at all, brother. I appreciate you coming on today and always appreciate your time. All right. Tre'Davious White, the Bills, you know, re-sign a fan favorite back in Buffalo. I think there's a lot of debate going on what he actually was last year. We know it didn't work out with the Rams. Then he goes to Baltimore. What did you see from Tre'Davious White, Jeremy, once he got to Baltimore and then through his short tenure there?
I mean, he played a decent amount here, I think, in kind of situations in that rotation they were using in their secondary. Nothing stood out to say, hey, this guy's done. But there also wasn't anything that really stood out to say, hey, that they really want to bring him back. I think the Buffalo thing's a perfect fit for him, someplace he's comfortable. Because as you pointed out, I mean, this is a guy that was up for Defensive Player of the Year not that long ago. And some of the injuries and, I guess, you know, Father Time, of course, he hasn't looked the same. But I think he's a nice depth piece. I think if you're relying on him to be that guy opposing the number ones on the other team, then you're going to be upset about that.
The Ravens last year, you know, just refresh my memory, what they normally ran scheme-wise. So mostly zone, mostly man. I think in that game against the Bills, they kind of switched it up a little bit, and that's why the Bills, they were getting in their face. They were a little bit more man. But did they play a little bit more of the other last year as it went on?
So, I mean, they do both, and they really do mix it up. Since Mike McDonald was here, the head coach in Seattle, he developed this scheme that Zach Orr kept and started running. That's why when you looked at their pass rushers, when they won the Triple Crown on defense, that's the year that they lost in the playoffs to, was that the Titans or it was Friday Chiefs? Doesn't matter. A couple of years ago, they had the best team in football, 2 years ago, and in my opinion, and they had the Triple Crown on defense, but there were no marquee pass rushers. It was the scheme. That's the year that Geno Stone, yeah, I don't know if anybody knows that name, he got a big contract from the Bengals. He had all these interceptions, and he'd never had that before. I mean, contract year, and it kind of took off, so they mix it up, and then having a player like Kyle Hamilton on that side of the ball, it allows them to do so much because they can use him as a pass rusher, as a linebacker, but they definitely mix it up. So it's really hard to say. The Ravens don't have a base defense, basically, because depending on the opponent, you'll see them do a bunch of different things.
I'm looking at Trey White's snap counts from last year. He didn't start any games, but he generally played about 30-35% of the snaps. There were some lower, a little bit, some a little bit higher. What was his role? Like, when would he come in? Was there any specific rhyme or reason or personnel?
No, I think it's more or less of who they're playing and what their personnel is. Like, he wasn't, again, he wasn't starting, as you pointed out, but he was a guy that got his snaps. So they definitely used a lot of defensive backs. if you want to talk about running nickel or dime, you'd see them do that on occasion. But there are certain teams that if they saw something in their makeup, they would totally change up what they do on defense as far as the scheme against them. I mean, they're a traditional 3-4 team, but they do a lot of other different things to try to confuse the quarterback.
Jeremy Kahn joining me here on the West Hur Hotline. The Ravens and Bills will play once again this year. That game will be in Buffalo. I'm expecting a primetime or a very, very least a 4:25 p.m. game. We did our annual podcast with the schedule maker, Mike North, that you might have seen. And, you know, basically he kind of said all those games at home for the Bills this year, lots of them Chiefs, Bengals, Ravens, and Eagles, very little chance, I think, anything's at 1 o'clock. So I think you're lining up another big Bills-Ravens matchup, this time in Buffalo in the regular season, Jeremy.
Do you like, I mean, do you like playing the better teams at home and the easier ones on the road because most teams are better at home? It's funny because, like, you look at it, and as you're saying, like, Kansas City, Baltimore, I guess we got to put a couple other teams up top in the AFC as well that are going to be good next year. But schedule-wise, these should be marquee games. We all know who the quarterbacks everybody wants to see. And anytime Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson, I don't care which two of them meet up, it should be the marquee game for the week.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And yeah, I think you'd rather generally have your harder games at home. And, you know, the road schedule is definitely a little bit different for the Bills. That home schedule is pretty tough for them as it is for, you know, obviously teams who finish where the Ravens or where the Chiefs or where the Bills have. That being said, what have the Ravens done this offseason so far? And what are they looking at as we head into next week's draft?
I mean, does nothing count as anything? No, I mean, they brought in D-Hop and they also, they brought in some cornerback depth. Now I'm blanking on the kid from Tennessee that they signed, but Awuzie, like they have some talent on the backside. I think realistically, when they go into the draft next week, this is a team that doesn't necessarily have a must or a need. Like I think pass rush is imperative for them. But if you're looking at them, they really didn't have to do much in the offseason. They had to really work some stuff in-house, and we still wonder, is Mark Andrews going to be on the team after the draft? The Ravens have never traded a player during the draft, as they pointed out this week. They did trade Hollywood Brown, but they said that trade was done on Monday, and they just didn't tell anybody when he went to Arizona. So the big pickup for them, I guess you could say, in the offseason was DeAndre Hopkins, if you think it's a big pickup. But again, they're asking him to be their third wide receiver, so to me it's more about depth there than anything.
Obviously, we saw what, you know, Mark Andrews went through on the field and off the field last year here in Buffalo. And now there's a lot of talk about, you know, where his future lies in Baltimore. What are you hearing about Mark Andrews and where does this thing go?
So, again, like this was something where we 100%, I mean, we have two big things in Baltimore that you got to figure out is what's happening with Justin Tucker and what are you doing with Mark Andrews? And then they'd like to get Lamar to an extension, get Derrick Henry possibly to an extension after seeing Saquon Barkley get his. Just to make sure that they can allocate some of the money for what they believe is a pretty good window right now to try to win. The sad part is, like, I hate the fact that Mark Andrews has to go out in his final game being a fumble and the easiest two-point conversion to catch in the history of two-point conversions, and he drops it, because that's not who he is. I mean, he's still an upper echelon tight end. The issue for the Ravens is that they have all three of their tight ends come up next year, and you have a young stud like Isaiah Likely. That's the guy you want to pay and the guy you want to make your tight end one, right, eventually. And then Charlie Kohler is their blocking tight end. He's up. So this isn't something the Ravens typically run into where the front office is so good at making sure all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and playing chess in this league where they're thinking three moves ahead of everyone else. But it is kind of odd to see all of your tight ends come up at once, especially two of them being, you know, what I would deem to be premier tight ends.
So you open the door to Justin Tucker. I'm curious where that lies right now. Obviously, the allegations are out there. What is happening with that, and how does this ultimately play out, do you think?
So I actually know a handful of people that were – actually, I'm three girls that were involved with this. And, again, like I have to be careful of what I say, but I believe every one of them. They've all told me the stories. They don't know each other, and their stories all add up and sound exactly the same. I don't know that anything comes of it because of the length of time that it's been gone and it's affecting Ravens fans. And it's you look at it because Justin Tucker's been the greatest kicker in the history of the league, like bar none. He's been amazing off the field here locally. But when you look at that, you just can't overlook it. And I think the Ravens know what they need to do. I don't know if they're waiting on the league to kind of say something or do something, but we're coming up on June 1st with the cuts that were supposed to happen. And he has to be one of them. I can't see him on this roster. And I do believe his failures last year, the missed kicks and just having that tough season, I had heard this stuff was going on in the middle of the season but couldn't run with it until it officially became a story. So I think that's what was affecting him as well. I still think he's a good kicker, if that matters to you. I just kind of question the person he is now.
Jeremy Kahn, 105.7, the Big Bad Morning Show in Baltimore, Odyssey sister station. We've had this conversation every year. We had this conversation, I think, before the playoff game as it relates to John Harbaugh, and I related to Sean McDermott. The difference, obviously, is Harbaugh has a Super Bowl championship, a Lombardi. But I feel like the fan base is kind of in the same spot in both cities with these head coaches, which is, hey, I mean, you have these MVP quarterbacks. You've had all these years. How come you can't get over the hump? Let's maybe get to somebody who can. Is that what's happening there?
I mean, there are still people here that do the old, if you fire Harbaugh, who are you going to get that's better than him? And I keep saying the same thing. It was before Harbaugh got here. And, oh, by the way, Harbaugh wasn't getting the job if Jason Garrett accepted it. Then his wife watched The Wire and said, I ain't moving there. So they didn't go, you know, we didn't end up with Garrett. We ended up with Harbaugh, which is a great thing. But you got to honestly look back at the Super Bowl he won. That was the worst Ravens team that they had that ever made a run like that. In the history. I mean, that team, they had a thing called Flaccoing. He threw a pick six against Denver, and Flacco was laying down with his hands on the ground and his face in the dirt as he dove for a player running down the sideline. And we're going, oh, my God, this team sucks. And then they just got hot. I mean, Flacco had the same run as Joe Montana with 11 picks or 11 touchdowns and zero picks. So, yeah, I mean, I keep talking about it because I do think Harbaugh's a good coach, but is he a good coach that's got them as far as they can go? Or am I not being fair to him that he's a much better coach? Because I do think he's a great leader of men. The thing I question about Harbaugh is X's and O's personally. And, you know, that's for me being a guy that's been doing sports talk radio for 25 years. I think X's and O's is the most important thing when it comes down to kind of getting your team ready. And we've questioned the playoffs over and over again. Like, why did you run the football six times with your running backs when you had the best running game in football? You know, like things like that where you're going, I don't understand why this happened. So, I think it's eerily similar, except for the fact that Harbaugh has won Super Bowl. But even that year was kind of a fluky, if you ask me.
Is that true about Jason Garrett's wife? She watched The Wire and said, I don't want to go to Baltimore.
That's what the rumor was. And again, if you buy into this stuff, but if you look it up, you'll see stories online saying that she was afraid to move to Baltimore.
I have to tell you, my wife and I love The Wire. It's one of our favorite all-time shows. It is absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously there's a lot there, and it's pretty heavy, right? And you go back and watch now even, you see, like, it was really heavy. Michael B. Jordan, by the way, I mean, he was this skinny kid who was acting in The Wire, you know, back in the day right there. But I'm sure people in Baltimore, how do people in Baltimore feel about The Wire and everything that brought with it?
Oh, they love it. My co-host is on The Wire, so...
Wow.
Norris, who's one of my co-hosts, he's the bald white cop that, I mean, if you watch it, you'll see him. But they loosely, he was a former police commissioner here in town, and they loosely based the black commissioner on the show, and forgive me, I forget his name, they loosely based what happened to him was the same thing that happened to Norris here. But, like, he had a lot of input on the show. And the one thing he tells me, and I'll give you two quick stories about it, the Baltimore accent is god-awful. You know, when people are talking like this and they don't know what's going on around here, we're going to go down the ocean. That accent is terrible. And they had the actors trying to do Baltimore accents. And then they did a testing of it. And people were wondering what was going on. They said, why are they talking like that? Like, some people actually thought some of the actors were special needs. Like, it's the accent's that bad. And so they obviously had to switch it up. And then that's why you don't hear any of the guys on the show doing a Baltimore accent. But the thing that Ed loved the most about the show is it kind of finishes how it starts. Like, hey, this war on drugs, no matter how good you get at it, it's always going to be here. So when one of the drug dealers gets knocked off, another one steps up, you know. So it's that constant battle between good and bad, if you will.
Before I let you go, you know I'm a Yankee fan. I know you're a big Orioles guy out there in Baltimore. It just seems like I was all aboard the Orioles 2 years ago. I thought this was going to be the team, and then a bit of a disappointment, you know, going into last year, actually, I should say. But so far, again, 8-10. What's the explanation for what's happening with this Orioles club?
I mean, look, it's easy for somebody like me to say injuries. The right. Fan base is really upset that they didn't spend money in the offseason or spend the type of money they wanted them to. I think the contract that Max Fried got was ridiculous, and the Yankees are probably thankful as hell right now that they did sign him. The Orioles offered Corbin Burnes $45 million a year over 4 years. He wanted to go to Arizona. They were going to have to overpay for it. We thought Garrett Crochet might come here, and then the Red Sox make the move for it. The Orioles have three huge prospects in Sam Basayo, a catcher that's in the minor leagues, Kobe Mayo, who they sent back to the minor leagues, who's killing it, and they also have Jackson Holliday. Every team that calls them to trade, they ask for one of those three players, and the Orioles are like, no. And I think that's why we finished outside the Garrett Crochet thing. That being said, they're banged up as all hell, man. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez, he might be done for the year. We don't know. He was supposed to have a stint here where he's pitching, and they had to cancel it because he had some soreness in his elbow. And then you look at Zach Eflin, who they traded for at the trade deadline, who has just been a godsend for us. He gets hurt. So now you have this who's who of pitching with a Japanese player. You've got Dean Kramer here, who nobody really – like, he's just kind of a middle-of-the-pack guy. And then you have Charlie Morton and a rookie. So it's like their starting pitching is so wanting right now. They had 10 starters to start the season, and then six of them got hurt. So, and Gunnar Henderson started the season on the injury report. Colton Cowser got hurt, who was up for Rookie of the Year. This is a very deep team, and I think they're fortunate to be 8-10. But if they get healthy, they can be a problem in the American League.
Is it too early to make any definitive judgments on Holliday? I mean, he came up last year. He struggled. He's only 21 years old.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a stud, man. He had a grand slam the other day. It's so funny. Everybody was throwing out all the – because he's hit two grand slams in his first 2 years, and then they're listing all the players he has more grand slams than. Like, it's like that means anything. You know, it's just coming up with the bases loaded, I guess. But he's a really, really good player. The fan base is getting frustrated with their manager, Brandon Hyde, because the tinkering with the lineup, he's a big lefty-righty guy, so a lot of the left-handed hitters sit when they face left-handed pitching, and our team looks dreadful in that lineup when they grab a bunch of these bench guys and throw them in. It looks like you've got three outs at the bottom of your lineup, and you're hoping your studs do something up top.
Jeremy, always appreciate your time, brother. I'm sure we'll talk again down the road. We'll catch up soon, but thanks a lot for this. Enjoy the rest of the baseball season. We'll be in touch when it comes to the Yankees and Orioles again, I'm sure, buddy.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, you got it. Jeremy Conn right there from our Odyssey sister station, 105.7, the Big Bad Morning Show. Yeah, I love talking baseball with some guys around, different markets around the country. The Orioles and Red Sox. We haven't done that in a while with the Red Sox. I haven't had a Boston guest on in a while. You know why? Because the Patriots haven't been that relevant. Now, I do get Evan Lazar on, I should say, just to talk about them. But, you know, then you get into a little bit more of that stuff. It's pretty cool. Blue Jays are off to a nice start. 11-8, by the way. Yankees win last night in Tampa at their own spring training facility. They played at Steinbrenner Field because the Trop got damaged by the hurricane, so the Rays are playing all their home games at the Yankee spring training site, and that's where they played the game last night. Yankees, their starter gets chased in the second inning, and yet they had to go to the bullpen the entire game and wind up winning the game. They're in 12-7 right now, have the tied for the best record in the American League. And with the New York Mets, by the way, Yankees and Mets, both 12-7. We will take a timeout. We're going to hear from some Sabres players in the locker room. I know that Jason Zucker and Alex Tuch have already spoken. Paul Hamilton is down there. We'll take your phone calls as well. 803-0550 and also online on Twitter/X at Sal Sports. Get connected there. Getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health.
At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, this is why I love the NFL draft and why I love social media. We had a caller named Kenny earlier who said, I think the Bills should draft a backup quarterback. Mitch Trubisky is not the answer. Totally logical take. I agree that maybe they should look into a younger quarterback. I don't think they'll do it. I think they're more comfortable having a veteran because if Josh goes down, you at least you don't want to have a super young guy, at least a guy that can game manage that's been around the league. But either way, then he comes on, Kenny, and he says, basically, they should draft one at number 30. Yes, a 30th pick overall, draft a backup quarterback because Mitch Trubisky is not the answer at backup quarterback. Never mind that Josh Allen just signed a $300-plus million contract extension. Anyway, so we all know that that's obviously ridiculous. And I tweeted out that Kenny said this. I said, hey, I had a first caller at WGR, said that the Bills should draft a backup quarterback at number 30. And then I wrote, thoughts to all of you. And I have a lot of people actually giving me legitimate thoughts on this. Folks, I'm being sarcastic and facetious and fun, even putting it out there into the social media sphere. So, yes, but people actually think I actually wanted your thoughts on that actually possibly being the case. No, it's just having some fun. But either way, you can look at it, you can tweet me, and you can get with me at Sal Sports, and of course at 803-0550. We are going to get down to the Sabres locker room when we return. Jason Zucker has spoken. Alex Tuck has spoken. We'll get you some of that sound from Paul Hamilton after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.